Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Kay James, Director of OPM. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Nicole Gartner.
Kay, you've got a great vision and you've got a lot of activities going on. Can you tell us how you'll look back and say, what does success look like for Kay James and OPM?
Good question. Well, I think there will be several measures for me. One, the president has made it clear he's got his scorecard. And he has delineated, you know, what looks like success from his perspective in each of those areas. So when I see green marks down that card on the president's management agenda, I know that that's what success looks like. There are other things that are important as well. When someone applies to the federal government and it doesn't take 6 months to hear and whether or not they have a job, that's what success looks like. When employees who work for the federal government say, this is the best working environment that I could possibly have, that's what success looks like to me. When the American people hold the federal workforce in high regard for the valiant patriots that they are, and we can improve the numbers and the public perception about the federal workforce, that's what success looks like for me. When OPM is operating as a world-class organization and people in the private sector are looking to us for best practices, that's what success looks like to me.
We've heard a lot in the press and in speeches about the expected wave of government retirements. And so I'm curious what kind of challenges this presents to OPM.
It's a huge challenge, but not an insurmountable one. When, you know, people sometimes get confused when we talk about the fact that we have this wave of retirements potential, and let me just quantify it for you. You can imagine if you were taking over as a corporate CEO and someone told you that some 50% of your workforce could potentially be leaving in the next 5 years, what the implications of that for you would be. Well, that's somewhat the situation that we're in right now. Having said that, I'm not sure that those numbers will exactly pan out for some of the reasons that we talked about in one of our earlier segments. We're in a different and a new environment, and all those individuals who are eligible for retirement may not, particularly at the time when they are eligible. But having said that, I do believe that we are losing knowledge workers, experience, skill, wisdom, and that the federal government must, and every manager within federal government, not just the director of OPM, must have as a priority how we are going to replace those workers. And so we're developing strategies on an agency-by-agency basis in order to do that. But it is a huge, huge problem.
What are some of those solutions? Because I think, as you indicated, it's not just getting more bodies in, it's also the knowledge as well.
That's exactly right. So we have to figure out how, within our current system, or perhaps even with some major civil service reform, how to attract mid-level people from the corporate environment to come in and give some time to the federal workforce. We have to change our way of thinking about who a federal worker is, because our system is designed, incidentally, for someone to come in through an entry-level job, stay in grade and work hard, and eventually after 30 years, you know, reach some level of success, and then they retire. Well, that's not what the workforce is like today. And so our system is not designed to be welcoming to someone who's coming in mid-career, who's accrued vacation leave and a certain level of salary in their area of expertise. And so we must look at some of those things to figure out how we change that to make it a welcoming environment, not just for the person coming right out of college or graduate school, but someone who's doing a mid-career job change.
What are some of the key skill sets that you think are lacking in the federal workforce today that you need to develop frameworks for attracting? I mean, we've talked about, you know, the fact that people may not retire, but there's also the challenge of refreshing the workforce and making sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, the good news is that we have a broad array of talented people who are currently working. We just need more of them. We need a knowledge worker. And what I mean by that, incidentally, is the old federal workforce was basically made up of clerks in the very early days who processed paper. Well, we don't process paper paper anymore. We have technology that does that. So we are looking for every job category that you could think of as a knowledge worker. We're looking for a policy analyst. We're looking for individuals who know how to have oversight and do negotiations for contracts. We're looking for individuals who are scientists, who are attorneys, who are engineers. And a lot of times when people in those job categories are thinking about employment, they don't first think of the federal government. We're looking for doctors, lawyers. We're looking for a broad array of individuals. Also, we're looking for the young person right out of college who may want to start at a lower or mid-level and come in and have the opportunity to hone their skills, have new experiences before they may want to go out and do something else in 4 or 5 years. That's a change. It used to be that someone came out and sought an opportunity where they knew they were going to be at the same place for the next 30 years. Our college graduates and grad school graduates are telling us now maybe 4 to 5 years, and then they're looking for something that would that could be interesting, where they could make a difference, where they could improve their skills, and then they'd like to go do something else. Our system is not designed to accommodate and reward that. We're not designed to accommodate and reward someone in their mid-career that wants to come in and serve their country, bringing their knowledge and expertise. In fact, in many cases, not only do we not reward them for doing that, but our system is designed somehow to discourage that, you know, through some of the things that are there naturally for ethical reasons, you know, in terms of stock portfolios that someone may have, or accrued vacation which they can no longer use. We actually do not reward people coming into federal government. In some cases, it's very difficult, and people can't, in many cases, make those kinds of sacrifices. We've got to address those issues.
Well, what changes need to be made? In addition to the professions you describe, one of the areas where we see it a lot, both in the private sector as well as the public sector, is the technology workers. They're difficult to attract, and then once you attract them, they need to be retained in special ways. And so I'm just, what changes can be made for those and the folks you describe?
Sure. There are several changes that we already have in place. You know, there is the opportunity to do special pay rates for certain job categories. We can pay retention bonuses when we see a very special person that we want to attract to federal government. We can pay relocation bonuses if we need to bring them here from Silicon Valley. There are things that we can do and those flexibilities are currently in the president's management agenda that we're hopeful will get through Congress during the next session.
Kay, I'm a young person. I've graduated from college. I'm thinking about my life, and I'm thinking about maybe I should consider public service. Talk to me about what does it mean to do that, and why I should.
If you are a young person out there right now, with the renewed sense of patriotism that exists within our country, and many young people are for the first time thinking, I never thought about serving my country that way. Maybe I can't go fight on some distant battlefield, but I can serve my country in some very concrete and real ways. And so if you're a college student out there or a graduate student, I would say that one of the first things you need to do is to visit our website, which is usajobs.opm.gov. There's some 16,000 opportunities to serve right there. And that is as important as serving in the military. It is called the civil service. We have our military forces and we have our civil service. And there used to be a time in our country when people saw that giving up a portion of your career to serve your country in the civil service was a noble calling. I think that we need to return that sense of nobility today, and I would appeal to you and your sense of service to say that you can serve your country, you can serve America by doing that. Bring those skills, bring that creativity, bring that energy that you have to the federal workforce, and when you do, you will find that there are some unique opportunities that you cannot find in the private sector. There are things that the federal government does that no one else does, and so they will be unique and they will be different. You will be challenged. You will be stretched. You will have the opportunity for training. You will have the opportunity to grow as a person and serve your country as well. And those opportunities are there. They exist. And so I would appeal to you and to your sense of service, to your love of country, and for the opportunity for you to grow as a person and to develop your skills and to use your knowledge base for the good of the American people. And that's what I would say to you.
Well, Kay, that's great. I'm afraid we're out of time. Nicole and I want to thank you for spending this time with us today.
Oh, thank you very much.
And did you want to mention the website once more
sure
in case
do.
I'm all wound up to join now?
I hope that everyone will take the opportunity to visit usajobs.opm.gov and spend some time there and look at the opportunities that exist to serve your country.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Kay James, Director of OPM. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research and also get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.